logistics of this stuff is tough sometimes.
We're all to a good start. Get the hang of this one of these days. Anyway, the basis, the scriptural basis for this song really is found in Matthew 7, in verses 13 and 14, where the Lord speaks of two roads that we all travel through life. There's the narrow road, and then, of course, there's the broad road.
He's got it.
And it also speaks of the...
Steve's got it.
Thank you. It also speaks of the eternal destination for each of these roads. And the name of this song is Double Roads.
Just this past Wednesday night, I brought a short devotional about choosing between two ways. God says, I set before you this day life and death, blessing or cursing. Therefore, choose life that you may live and your seed with you, that is, those that come behind you. And so we just looked at it very briefly. And Vicki said, suggested maybe I ought to think about making that into a Sunday morning message. So I may do that one of these days as we pray about that a little bit more. But for right now, take with you Bibles to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. You've heard the statement before probably that you may come and go as you please. Well, what that means or what somebody may think of that is I can kind of do like I want to do. I can come and I can go. Nobody really tells me when and how and what and et cetera there. Everybody likes to enjoy the freedom of doing as they please, but that's not always the best thing to do. It's not always that we have the freedom to do that in different stages of our life. And sometimes the way we please is not always the way God pleases. Matter of fact, I'd say most of the time that's true because of our sin nature. Our heart is deceitful above all measure, and we cannot trust it. And so too often when I just go by what I please, unless my life has been shaped tremendously by God's Word and change my what I am pleased to do, then what I may please out of my flesh will certainly not be pleasing to the Lord. But I want you to see some examples of that real quick as an introduction to what I want to share today. For instance, with a child or even a youth, teens, unfortunately, you're coming into this category here still, but children and youth sometimes like to be able to do what they please, come and go as they please, etc. And as they get older, hopefully they are learning and we are, as parents, guiding and teaching them how to make more and more choices on their own. And they are to learn that because one day they will be on their own, hopefully, and that they would be able to make those choices in a wise way. But until then, as parents, we are to give them some very loving guidance in making those choices and helping them, because as adults, we perceive some things that they may not see or may not understand in making those choices. But then on the flip side of that, you may have an elderly parent whose mind is not working as good as it used to. And I know that you're aware with my mom and Vicki and I with some of the things that are there. Even this morning, if I had some people talking about different ones in their family, et cetera, things that they have experienced it the same way. But here's a situation where an adult that has had the freedom all of their life to make the choices and have had to make the choices in their life, and now it's coming to a point where they don't realize that some of the choices that they're starting to make are not really wise choices or good choices and are even dangerous to themselves in some accounts. And so as children then, we must come alongside and give some kind and tender guidance to them at that point. And I say it that way, kind and tender, because I know that it can become very frustrating over time with dealing with some of that. And we need to be careful in making sure that we're kind as we're trying and seeking to give the guidance to them, the careful guidance that they need. But in between those two categories of childhood and getting elderly in our years, with our mind may not be as sharp there, we are an adult there then with all of these years and all of these opportunities before us. And so many of you as an adults out there, you have been for some time and you not only have the liberty to choose what you want to do, etc., you have the responsibility to make those choices. And sometimes those choices that you make are not always what pleases you, but what you know has to be done in order to function as an adult or as a family, etc. Just this weekend, yesterday, was nothing like I had thought it would be earlier in the week. This past week has been an odd week. There have been many things that have happened in my schedule and so forth that kind of put me behind. And so I don't like to wait until Saturday and still have to come up to the church and be finishing up my message for Sunday morning. That bothers me. And I knew I still had some hours to put in up here yesterday. And then at the same time, we had a well problem that was developing. And the pressure switch on our well was going bad. And I would have to crawl up under the house and tap on it. And then it would kick in and it would start working. And it worked for a while and then it would quit. Well, I've never replaced one before. I didn't know really what was involved. Well, I knew it was electrical. I thought it's probably some plumbing in it too, and I'm a terrible plumber. Everything I touch it leaks. But anyway, I thought, well, maybe I can just, you know, keep going under and tapping it until Sunday, and I'll talk to some of our men and get some advice about how to approach this. Well, Friday night I went to bed early, and Vicki, when she went to bed, it had quit working, but she didn't want to wake me up and say, can you go into the house and tap it again? So waited till Saturday morning. We had company. Josh was down visiting with Lisa, I thought, well, you know, we've got to have water here. So I got up early Saturday morning. When I got up, went into the house, tapped on it, and nothing happened. And so I tapped it again, and so you go get a bigger hammer, and I took the cap off, you know, I tapped it again there, and I tapped it a little bit harder, and finally it kicked on. I thought, oh, good. And so I waited there for it to cycle up till it was going to turn off, and when it clicked off there, all of a sudden it went pew, and a spring went out onto the floor. I thought, well, that can't be good. And it wasn't. It was done. So I thought, well, I didn't make it a Sunday to ask some advice here, so I did the next best thing. I jumped on the computer and went to YouTube. Started looking up, how do you do this, what's involved, and ended up going to the hardware store. Long story short, Lord help me, I got it done, it doesn't leak, we got water. Lunchtime, I was done, ate some lunch, came up here, finished up. By 4 o'clock, I was back at home, but that was not the Saturday that I had intended. But it was the Saturday that I had to choose to do. Not as I pleased, but as I should and as I needed to. And as adults, we have that going on in our lives. So there are a lot of choices that we make. Many times it's things that we choose to do because that's what we please. Many times it's things that we choose to do because that's what we should and need to do. And the point is there, coming and going as we please is nice, but it's not always affordable. And sometimes, as I mentioned, as we please is not like Jesus pleases. And so I want us to look at some examples this morning of coming and going. All of them are good except for one, and we can reverse it around and get the good out of it. But we want to look at coming and at going. There will be three examples in each one. And let's ask God's blessing as we do. Father, I pray that as we begin looking at your word this morning, I pray that you would help us to not only understand its truths, but how it applies to us in so many areas of our life. Lord, as we know that our flesh many times has its own desires, and Lord, when we follow after those things to be pleased, we certainly disappoint you. And I pray that we would have a heart desire to always please you, and that we would seek to make that choice, for we know that there are two choices always on the shelf, pleasing you or pleasing self. And Father, I pray that as we leave out of here today, that we may have committed to you and have great determination that we would seek to make the choices that would always please you. And now, Father, guide us as we look. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Come is an invitation that is given to us. There are three invitations to come I want us to consider. Here in Mark, we'll see the first one. Jesus said to his disciples there, he said, come to follow me there. In Matthew 4, he said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Here he says it this way in verse 16. Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway or immediately they left their nets and followed him. And so we have here this come that Jesus says unto his disciples. Now I believe that this come can be divided into two parts. The first part is that of salvation. For they were following the Lord Jesus Christ. They were making a decision for the first time there to come after him. And that's what salvation really is. As the Lord speaks into our hearts and draws us into himself, we have to make a choice to follow the Lord there in salvation, to choose to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. The reasons that Jesus came into the world was to seek those that were lost, to seek and to save those that were lost. And we're all sinners. We're all born lost. We're all born condemned to die for our sins. For the wages of sin, Scripture says, is death. And that death is not just physical, but spiritual, as I've explained so many times before. And it means that we've got to die and go to a place of torment called hell. But the Lord Jesus Christ, not willing that any should perish, we're told in 1 Timothy 2:4 that Jesus wants all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. And the truth is that he died on Calvary to pay the penalty of our sins. He bore the wages of our sin upon himself so that we could have his forgiveness, so that we could experience and take upon ourselves his righteousness. And we could be forgiven of our sins and made acceptable to come into his heaven. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ did. In John chapter 6, in verse 67, we're told that the Lord Jesus Christ, after one of his messages that he preached, had many people that were following him to leave and not follow him anymore. And Jesus turned to the 12 of his disciples, and he said, "Are you going to leave me too?" But notice what they said here in John chapter 6, verse 68. It says, "Simon Peter answered him, said, Lord, to whom shall we go? For thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure." All right, that's faith. "We believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And so there is that faith that they had in coming to the Lord, and we can reckon that or compare that there to the faith of salvation that is needed. Jesus also said in John 12:32 that, "And I, if I be lifted up, will draw how many men? All men unto myself there." So Jesus is speaking and he's drawing it, and whosoever hears that call, whosoever he is dealing with a heart there, if we would just respond and call unto the Lord, he would save us. And so, my friend, if God is speaking to your heart this morning, and you know you're sitting here and you know that you have never really genuinely made that choice, or you are concerned about that, then you need to make sure of that today before you leave. Don't put that off. He's saying unto you, come unto me for salvation. And as it said there in verse 18 of our passage there in Mark 1, "And straightway," or immediately, "they left their boat." That's the way that we ought to come as well, immediately. So what is your answer? Not only did they come for salvation, but they came for discipleship. In Luke chapter 9, the 12 were called his disciples. And in Luke 9, we're going to see something about a disciple there. The disciple, by the way, is a learner. It's one that is a follower of another's teachings or another's ways. To be a disciple of Jesus, then, you want to learn his ways and follow him. And so, of these disciples, Jesus said there in verse 23, matter of fact, the same statement is said in Mark 16:24 and in Mark 8:34. Here in Luke 9 and verse 23, Jesus said unto them all, "If any man will come after me," hear that "come" again, "if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." We are to follow the Lord, not only his teaching, his ways, etc. there. And it says there that we're to do it daily. It's a daily choice we have to make every day. We just don't one time dedicate ourselves unto the Lord and think that that's going to last the rest of our life. It's good to make that initial dedication of ourselves. I did it when I was about 15 years old, and yet every day My flesh has to be told, get down. And let the Holy Spirit rule and lead in my life. And that's the same for every one of us. Not only that, it says, but he mentioned there that take up your cross. A cross, we know, the Lord Jesus Christ, it speaks of death. And paying the price there. And so the idea there, whatever the cost, let's follow the Lord. Whatever the cost, let us follow the Lord. And it said right before them, if you will come after me, let him deny himself. That doesn't sound very much like coming and going as we please, does it? Let him deny what he is pleased with so that we can follow him as he pleases. So the idea there is every day, whatever the cost, would have followed Jesus as he pleases there. Jesus said, come to his disciples. Secondly, the Father said, come home to the prodigal son. Over just a few pages there into Luke chapter 15, we find there the parable of the prodigal son that is given to us. And you know the story. I'm not going to take time to teach it to you there. But the son had two sons. The father could represent our heavenly Father. And here's the one son, the younger son, says, come. He came and he said, I want all of my inheritance now. And the father gave it to him. He said, I'm out of here. And he went and he spent all of he had there. As long as he had money, he had friends. And when his money ran out, so did his friends. And he ended up working, feeding the pigs. And the only thing he had to eat was some of the leftover food that the pigs had there. And finally, after a period of time, it says there in Scripture that he came into himself. And he realized, and he looked back and he said, the servants in my father's house have it better than I do. I don't want this anymore. I'm going to go back into my father. That's repentance, changing of mind, changing of direction. And I'm going to say unto my father, Father, I have sinned. That's confession. And I'm no longer worthy to be your son. Just make me one of your hired servants. And that was his plan. And as he started back there, his father saw him a good ways off. That tells me something. Because in the Scripture there, you don't read where the father says, come home anywhere. But you see the attitude, you see the position that he had, in that he was always looking for him. He was desiring his son to come home. And so when he saw him afar off, even though the Jewish men of his day did not run, he ran unto his son. And he met him there. And it says there in verse 22 that he said, bring a robe. As his son started through the spiel there, Father, I have sinned and I'm no longer worthy to be your son. He didn't even get to finish the whole statement. For his father said, put a robe on him. That's acceptance there. Put a ring on his finger. He is a son. Put shoes on his feet. He's not a slave. And kill the fatted calf. We're going to celebrate. My son that was gone away is now returned. And you see, our Heavenly Father has the same desire. When we have made decisions that draw us away from the Lord, or when we allow sin to creep into our lives and to hurt our love for the Lord, diminish it, and we fall away from Him gradually, whatever the case that has caused us to be away from the Lord, our Heavenly Father wants so much for us to come home unto Him. And He opens His arms and He's ready to forgive if we will come and repent and confess unto Him and find His loving forgiveness. And then thirdly, after we see there that Jesus had come to His disciples and the Father said, come home unto the prodigal, Jesus said to all that we are to come unto me. Come unto me to find rest. In Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Those that labor is those that are under hard conditions, whatever the labor may be, it's difficult that is there. Heavy laden under intense stress and pressure, I will give you rest, peace, encouragement, etc. In Psalm 55 and verse 22, cast thy burdens upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. The word burden there is any physical, any emotional burden that you have there. Cast it unto the Lord and He will sustain thee. He'll hold you up. He will cause you to endure. And then that should remind us of 1 Peter 5:7, where it says, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Whatever our burden is, whatever our stress is, whatever our care that we care about, and it's on our mind, etc. there, cast it on Jesus, because He cares about you, and He will care for it for you. That's seen in that last statement there, for He cares for you. And that's exactly what we can do. But not only are we to come unto the to be a disciple there and come home if we walked away and come to Jesus for the rest and encouragement, etc. But the second is that we're to go. It's a command. And we see three examples of that very quickly. The first one is found in John chapter 8. In John chapter 8, Jesus said unto a woman there, go and sin no more. That is something that we ought to take heed to as well. In this John 8, beginning in verse 2 there, it says, early in the morning He came again, Jesus came again into the temple, and all the people came unto Him, and He sat down and taught them. Oh, by the way, I like that. All the people stood up, and He sat down and taught. You know, that means we've got this backwards a little bit here, don't you know? But anyway, it says, and the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto Him a woman taken in adultery, in the very act there. And they had set her in the midst, interrupted His teaching there to do it there. They said unto Him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Our question should be, where is the man? Okay, He was in on the plot. This was a setup for this woman, and it was to set up the Lord Jesus Christ and the question they're going to ask Him. Now, Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting or testing Him, that they might have to accuse Him. But Jesus stooped down and with His finger wrote on the ground, as though He had heard them not. So when they continued asking, He lifted Himself up and said unto him, to them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again He stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the least, the youngest. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. Now let me stop right there and say something. His words were there, if you don't have any sin, you can be the one to throw the first stone. And it says they were convicted with their conscience. Now, I don't believe they were just convicted by that statement. But Scripture tells us that He stooped down and was writing in the ground. We don't know what He wrote, but that evidently was significant to the point that they became convicted. So what was He writing there? Was it specific sins that these accusers were guilty of and that they knew they were guilty of? And thought, how does He know that? We know how He knows it. He's God. And when they saw that and realized, then they were convicted of their sin. Instead of passing judgment on the woman, He passed judgment on the judges themselves. But notice here as we go on. When Jesus had lifted Himself up, He saw no one but the woman and said unto her, now here's still all the people that He's teaching around there, just not these scribes and Pharisees, etc. He says, woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Now, first of all, Jesus was not saying that adultery was not a sin. He was not saying that adultery is not serious. That's not what He was talking about. But that He was not going to condemn her to be stoned to death right there. Okay? That's what they had brought her for, etc. But He was going to forgive her. Now, forgiveness is free, but it is not cheap. He knew one day He would die for her sin. And your sin, and my sin. And so Jesus forgave her there, neither do I condemn thee, but go and sin no more. And I say that he says the very same thing to us. Whether it's when we come to him for salvation and we receive the forgiveness initially there and he says unto us, go now and sin no more. Or whether we have sinned since then and we come in repentance and confession as we come home unto the Father and he lovingly forgives us again there. He says, go and sin no more. We ought to have within us, and it should be if it's genuine repentance, that I don't want that anymore. I'm through with that, and I want the Lord Jesus Christ, and my intention is never to go back. And when we have that mentality and we ask our Lord's forgiveness, He is faithful and He is just to forgive us, and we are then reinstated into fellowship. But if we've got it in our mind, I plan to do it again tomorrow, then we're not genuine in our repentance nor our confession, nor are we forgiven. And so it's important for us to have that mentality, go and sin no more. That's what Jesus says to us. And then in Romans 28, we have there, go, and of course you've got to give this one, go and tell the gospel. In Mark 16:15, Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We certainly are to do that, and that's that go that is seen there. It's the resurrection verbs that we see in the beginning of verse of chapter 28, after the resurrection there, as the angel said unto the women there in verse 6 and 7, come see where the Lord lay, go quickly and tell his disciples. Those four verbs there, come, see, go, tell. That's what God says to us. Come, see about my forgiveness. See the salvation I have to offer. And when you've experienced that, then go and tell others. We have that command, that commission upon us. And he gives it there in the last few verses, in verse 19 and 20 there, the great commission. Go you therefore and teach all nations. The word teach there means to make disciples of. Like Jesus said to those first 12 there, come and follow me and I'll make you fishers of men there. It talked initially about salvation. That's what he was making of them, making a disciple of them, and it involved salvation. We're to do the same. We're to go into all the world and to make disciples of them. We're to make them to come to the Lord, not make them, but give them opportunity to come to the Lord as the Savior. And then we're to get them baptized, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. That's the first step of obedience after salvation. And then it says teaching them again, but the word here has the idea of training them. Training them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Lo, I'm with you always there. That's the discipleship process there. Teaching them to be a follower of the words, the commands of the Lord Jesus Christ and following His ways. And so that is what God has given us to go and to tell. Jesus has left us here with that commission, that mission, as to go and tell. And then the last one, if you'll bear with me just for a few moments, and back over in Luke chapter 9, we have some would-be disciples that are given to us there. This is the one that is not the good example, but we can reverse the idea here very quickly. I'll pick up a reading in verse 57. It says, and it came to pass that as they went in their way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. We never again hear a word about this would-be disciple following him, etc. But what the ones that I want you to see is following here. It's the next two disciples. He said unto another, follow me. Here's those words, come after me, follow me. And he said, Lord, I will, suffer me or permit me first to go. Here's that go word that we're talking about. Permit me first to go and bury my father. And Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury the dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And then verse 61, another would-be disciple also said, Lord, I will follow thee. But let me first go, bid them farewell, which are at home in my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Here I want you to see these would-be disciples, every one of them had a desire and said, I'll follow you, but let me go first. Let me first. That's the problem. That's the mentality about going that's wrong. They said, I'll go, but let me first do this. I'll follow you, but let me first do this. And the doing of this, whatever it was there, of those two things, that's not the things that were important. The things that were important, what I want you to get is the mentality that was wrong there. The allow me first, not so much what they were saying, but the idea, me being first, that's the problem. This is the same mentality as come and go as you please. I want to come and go as I please. Let me be pleased first. That's the problem with that statement. Our following Christ must be on His terms, not on ours. It ought to be to please Him. So in today's message, come and go, as I've titled it. Come to the Savior for salvation. Have you done that yet? Come to the Master as His disciple, as His learner, as a follower of His ways. Come home to the Father if you've drifted away in sin. Come to Jesus and let Him care for you and comfort you. Go and sin no more. Go tell the gospel unto others. And go first to follow Jesus. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And then all these other things will be added unto you. But put Jesus Christ first. Make Him your priority. So I ask you this morning, will you come and go as He pleases? As He pleases. Every head bow, please. You've heard the message. I think you understood both the invitation to come and the command to go. Several different ways we've seen it. But the choice is yours, as they sang this morning. There's the narrow road and there's the broad road. The narrow way is could be likened unto those that say, Lord, I want to please You. I want to go where You want me to go, how You want me to do. I want to come and follow You Your way as You please. And the broad way is that so many go is I want to please myself. Let me do what I want first, and then later on I'll serve You. That mentality will never fly with God. He is either Lord of all or He's not Lord at all. He wants you to serve Him first. He doesn't want you to serve Him. The choice is yours. What will you say to the Master? Father, I pray that we would very seriously evaluate our hearts right now to make sure, Lord, that You're not putting Your finger on any part of our life and saying, that's what I'm talking about. Well, I pray that if it is, that we know exactly what to do. We repent, we confess. Lord, You openly, with Your open arms, receive us and forgive us. You love us continually. And I pray that we would always cherish You for what You are to us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.